You might want to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 23. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Thank you very much. Make your day all that you want it to be. Here we are in your presence. So you know what's ahead. You know where we've come from. So God, we're looking to you. Spirit of God, thank you very much. Father, be pleased to help us, that we might honor you the more and the better, and appreciate what you've done for us, for us to be able to have such a relationship to you. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we've been looking since the exercise of the virus, etc., to remind ourselves of our relationship to God and all of the biblical truth up and down from Genesis to Revelation is marvelous. And we have made some attempt to try to understand chapter after chapter, verse after verse, word after word, and we've only touched a little bit. But the virus, etc., causes us to zero in on the relationship directly. And we need that personal, practical, profitable, pleasing relationship to God if you're going to make it. The systems change, the world's changed, countries changing, and things are not the same anymore. Not going to be the same anymore. So either we're going to be able to stand, withstand, and understand, or we're not. And we'll get gobbled up in everything. And we've been trying to deal with that kind of thinking to understand and exercise God's word in the light of it. Therefore, in the light of God's creative, wonderful person, and we've shared together his wonderful providence, how he manages everything totally, from sun, moon, stars, bumblebees and butterflies and birds and humans and angels and everything else. God does that. And therefore, we want to understand that God is in charge. And the trouble is, when God is out of the picture, then we found that God, who created evil, as we shared, and he created darkness. And he did all of that so that what? God is going to display his wonderful glory in person, so that angels, good guys and bad guys, and humans, saved and unsaved, can understand God. And therefore, there has to be evil. Evil. Evil is the evil's want. Simply, it's that which is where God is missing. When you take God out of anything, what have you got left? Zero. You got a zero. That's all. So God, here we are looking to you, and we want to understand light and darkness and all of that, and we shared together, worthy of repeat, we our societies, our system, world system, satanic system, we have living in a world that Isaiah 5:20 that calls what? Evil good and good evil, and darkness light and light darkness. And when we turn it all upside down and we live with it generation after generation after generation, it is our norm, it is the way we live, the way we think, And unless someone does something to stir our heart and awaken it, that is how we think. Evil is actually good, and good is actually evil. Darkness is actually light. Light is actually darkness. And we don't think about those words. We just assume. And therefore, when we read the Bible, when we look at ourselves and look at the world, we have a problem because we can't pin down, it wasn't the evil that something happened over there in some city or some place and someone did something evil. No, evil is everywhere. And we share together that we walk in the middle of it. So David, that's getting our point. We're in it. There's no way out of it. So, Psalm 23, wonderful psalm of David. David, remember, was a man blessed by God, going out and coming in. And the people resented that. They wondered, and they were so glad that David was their king. Because whenever he did anything, he was blessed. God blessed him and whatever, and helped him through everything, Absalom and all of them. God helped him and kept him. And the next person's coming up, they said, they can't do what David did. David was blessed going out and coming in, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 6. Now, having said that, so here's David. The Lord is my shepherd, my personal, my country tis of thee. So here's my personal pronoun. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So since God is the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep belong to God, then God isn't too interested in losing the sheep or anything else. God wants the sheep to survive, etc. So the shepherd, he's my shepherd. So therefore, we aren't going to want. Next thing, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, not in dry and rocky things, but in green, comfortable, verdant green. Uh-huh. And not only does he make me lie down, he leadeth me in the paths. He leadeth me beside still waters, tranquil waters, very quiet, peaceful, tranquil. So God gives us everything. Uh-huh, that's what David says. God is everything. He's my shepherd. And by the way, he said, verse 3, he restoreth my soul, he maketh me to pass righteous for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though, and that little, two little words, in addition to leading me, caring for me, keeping me, in all that he's doing for me, all that he's doing, by the way, in addition to that, even though, in addition, moreover, you might want to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though, in addition, of all of God's caring, green pastures and still waters, and but, God leads and sends him through the valley of the shadow of death, of deep darkness. And he's going through it. That's the verb. He's in the process of walking in it. And we share together, reminded ourselves, there's no way to get out of it. You live in the worldly setting on planet Earth until you die. And it's the same. It stays the same. And you and I are not going to be around if you're saved when the Lord takes us up and the tribulation and all of that. And that's a whole other event. But as long as we're here, we're going to be what? In the valley of the shadow of death. We're surrounded by a world system that is godless, has no interest in life but death, no interest in light but darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. And so here we are. We live in that world. And it isn't going away all the way to the end. So therefore, all the way our journey, we're in the valley, like it or not. But he's our shepherd. And therefore, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, pitch blackness, if I may, no light, extreme danger, death's shadow. There's no light, no hope to come out of this. So, having said that little bit, over, if you would, to just pick that up again, so it's fresh in your mind, Jeremiah chapter 2, in this valley of darkness that we live in. David walks in it, and we're trying to get an understanding from David on how he did. We did it with Timothy, so here is David. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in chapter 2, all in verse 6, directly, if I can. It won't even take time. Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of the deserts and of the pits, through the land of drought and of the shadow of death, though through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelleth, how could they ever survive 40 years? By God. Where do they survive? In the shadow of death, in a valley that can't support life. They can't do it. Nope, not for two and a half thousands of animals. No. Nope, can't do it. But they did do it. God kept them in the valley of the shadow of death. Over to chapter 13. Here they are in the days of Jeremiah and Nebuchadnezzar, as you know. And in chapter 13 again, just to remind us, verse 15, hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Well, what did he say? To give glory to the Lord, your God, before, it's too late, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death, and maketh it gross darkness. God said, I want you to change your course. Israel isn't going to change its course. Nebuchadnezzar is going to knock the city down and the temple down. Not going to change, no. God said, then it's going to get dark and darker. And you're not going to be happy. It's all going to happen because you've chosen to leave me out. And when you leave out good, that is God, you're left with evil. Without God, you're having to survive without God. So hang on. Now, and by the way, one other place on your way back, Psalm 107. And I remind you again, and in Psalm 107, picking up by May, go to verse 8, you'll catch the flavor of it. It's a wonderful psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For reason, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Goodness, good God, goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Wow. Now, God, they could have honored God, but God, are you going to keep them still? I am. Are you going to watch over them? Is your providential management disappeared because of the world's under it, no matter how it cuts the cookie, and it's the believing heart that's struggling through and goofing up everything and getting in trouble and losing everything? Are they out? No, God, you're watching. I am. Verse 12. Therefore, He brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. God did wonderful things for them. He let them understand what is it like without God. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Now that's what we've been sharing. Why doesn't the experts and the science and the everyone, politics, why don't they turn to God? Why doesn't the system turn to God? If you don't turn to God, he's the author that let it happen. I've said it 5,000 times. If you want to get better, don't you want to go to the doctor? But we aren't. So what's your hope? Not much. Not much. God's going to finish it out. Wow. Therefore, verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands asunder. When they called, they cried unto God. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, God, you're there to take care of everything. That's right. So they, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, I will not fear, imperfect, I am not fearing, I am not being afraid of the evil. And the word evil, actually, is that which is unhealthy, unfit, worthlessness, uselessness. And when you're all done putting all those little words together that it means, there's a word to help you, malignant. Evil is malignant. It's very bad. Malignant, evil. Now, so therefore here we are looking. And so we've shared together in fear and title a little bit, before the fearing and the fearless. So God, here's David walking in the valley of deep darkness, walking through it, and you're there to help him. He's in the middle of it. That's right. Over now to get the other side of the coin, over to Romans and chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, you will note, please, going if I can, chapter 3, the time, context, verse 18, directly. In the whole list of negatives, the whole list of everything that's not good, verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. And verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They have no fear of God. If you said, what about God? And who cares about God, right? They look at you. I did that once to a businessman. He owned a car dealership. And I gave him a little thing. Remember the little thing we had? God will take care of you wherever. And there's no problem that God isn't able to solve, etc. And I handed it to him, the thing. I said, you may want to read this at the back of it. And he handed it back to me. He said, no, I don't need God. I don't need God. That's fine. He doesn't. He has no fear of God. The average person is not having a healthy fear of God. It's just not happening. It's not happening. You can say, well, they're God-fearing. You better rethink that and see how God-fearing they really are. They aren't that God-fearing as you think, as you might want them to be. So therefore, verse 19, you sum it up for us, God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Now God, that's the Jew and the Gentile. Verse 19, that purpose, every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, the whole world, Jew and Gentile, may become guilty before God. They're all guilty. All guilty. They have no fear of God. No fear. No fear. God said, without fear, you're in trouble. They had no fear of God. David did, but they didn't. Now, on the other side, another part of that, to understand, over would Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, please. You'll catch it, verse 27 again for context later time. But a certain, I'll have to read verse 26. But if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. If you don't care about what Christ died and forgave all your sin, and that doesn't mean a thing to you, but then what's the sense? Christ's death doesn't mean anything. Verse 27. What is going to happen? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Well, I'm not going to bother with God. Well, God isn't going to let it go. So you're going to end up fearful. That's right. Fearful. Fearful. Fearful of what's going to happen. Things fearful. And we're going to do that in just a second if I can get there. Fearful. That's what we are. Fearing, compounded and double compounded in our system. Fear. Generating fear. Now, having said that, and you'll go to verse 30 to add it again. In verse 31, well, 30. Well, 31 for time's sake. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. No. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And while you're looking at that, keep in mind chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 27. Keep that, the two together, if you can, in your mind. Verse 27, chapter 9. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but what? After this, the judgment. See. Now, how do we survive? We don't believe God. I don't believe there's a God. I know all kinds of things. I have my religion. I have my beliefs. And we're trusting and looking at them. We're going to look at them in a sec. And we're doing all of those things. So what are we avoiding? We're avoiding the understanding to think about God. Do you believe there's a God? I don't want to think about that. Because the evidence is going to be overwhelming that there is a God. So I'm not really going to think about God. So I don't want to think about God. If I don't have to think about God, I don't have to worry about what? Giving an account to God, to stand before God. Well, whoever God is and whatever he's like, my heart isn't ready to stand before him. So I'm not going to think about him very much. I'm not going to try to understand him. I don't want to. I don't want to understand him. My heart's very uncomfortable. The reality of it, that if I die, everything I said and did and done doesn't make any difference. I'm answerable, accountable to God who created me. And I'm totally bankrupt if I have to give an account. So therefore, I'm not even going to think about that. So, but down in my gut, my theories and my thoughts and my evolution and my communism and socialism and all the other junk I got, all of that, when it's really push comes to shove, I'm in trouble. But I don't want to ever think about that. So therefore, I have no faith in God. But I cannot avoid the understanding that God is going to hold me accountable. But I don't want to think about it in any way because it makes me really very understandably uncomfortable. Now, having said that, and by the way, you have that, Revelation 21 will help us in the end. in Revelation 21, picking up, please, in verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, there's your little word, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, that wouldn't want to wake me up, but the world doesn't care. They don't want to know. They don't want to understand. Therefore, David, though, in opposite, is in fear of God. And the fear of God, using it in that positive direction as it is, the fear of God has to do with the awe, the reverence, awe. To have an awe of God, a awesome God, an awe-inspiring God. God is awe-inspiring. God is awesome. Awesome. That's right. He's reverent and holy is his name. God is awesome. And obviously, he is good, and he created evil. All of it to learn. God is one awesome God. So why do we, when I know that and I understand, he created this bad evil which we have in our own heart, and God saves us. What do I do? Well, I have an understanding. So when God tells me he died on the cross for me and he forgave, when he died for all of my sin to take care of everything that would ever keep me from knowing him and honoring him forever. He did that. If I just think of God, good. But God has allowed all of this to happen to understand God and the marvelousness of his grace and his mercy in saving us. Wow. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, in the light of all of that, God. So here's David, has fear. David lives in fear. He has an awesome fear of God, a wonderful fear of God. And I will, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So God, that's what you're, David, what are you saying? I'm not afraid of evil. Why? Because I have a healthy respect for God. God is my shepherd. He keepeth and careth for the sheep. God loves me. God's with me. He blesses me going out. He blesses me coming in. I live in the middle of darkness and evil. But I don't let evil dominate me. It's there. And when I do, I have to confess my sin. I did that. I didn't mean to do it. And hang on to that in the light of that. And therefore, evil, the fear of God, all that you have. And in order to get that better, let's do it a little different. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51 again. And come at it a different approach, window. So here's David. David has a wonderful faith in God. And Israel didn't enjoy faith in God, didn't trust God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So here's Isaiah 51, and God in all different kinds of ways admonishing Israel, and we gain from it. Isaiah 51, picking up verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Therefore, since he's God, verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the approach, reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings. Don't be afraid. Don't get all caught up. Don't do it. Why? Because I'm God. And I'm going to fix everything, including the heaven and the earth and everyone on it. So don't get all hung up on as you're going. Now, sliding over to verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die? And we just got that in verse 6. That's going to die. They're all going to die. They aren't. They have no life. They're dead. Trespasses and sin. Should be afraid of a man that shall die. Add, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass. Here today and gone tomorrow. Now, why are you going to get caught up with that? Verse 13. And forgettest the Lord, thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. Remember, we shared that the other day. And as if he were ready to destroy. In other words, you're all afraid it's going to happen. And don't be. It's always there. Evil is there. Darkness is there. It's not going away. And because you call evil good and good evil and you turn it upside down, you're looking and thinking something terrible's happening. And what's different? No matter what they do, whether they give you 10 ice creams or nothing, what difference does it make? It's from the world. What are you getting caught up with? You're getting caught up with making differences. So you're afraid of this and then you aren't afraid of that. You should have been conscious that both of them were evil. Both of them were without God. God isn't there. God isn't in them. They have no faith. They're fearless. And they're going to be fearful. So God, here we are looking. And therefore, God said, you're afraid of things that haven't even happened. The thing, wolf, 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 when there is no wolf. Scared, be afraid. This is going to happen to me. I better do this and do this because this would happen to me. And then 10 years later, you're still what? I'm going to do this and make it sure it never happened, did it? That's the whole point of this statement. It never happens, does it? You're making all of it up. It's worse than it is, other than it is. And you're caught up in it. And you create fears. Fears give control. Control means I can conform people to be like I want them to be. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over in the light of believing, all our fears are generated by our own heart, obviously. That's where they come from. Where do all the phobias come from? Where do they all come from? Well, they come from our heart. It's how we think. And our heart, Mark chapter 7, etc., is evil. So what are we going to do? If I'm going to trust myself, the heart is deceitful, as we shared this morning. Again, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and no one can know it. So our heart is governing us, even though we're thinking and trying to handle everything, trying to handle it. And as we try to handle it and look at it, as we try to do all of that, but we're doing it from ourselves. And we don't have it right side up. God does. His word does. And as you hide his word in your heart, you know, right side up, you know which is right and which is wrong. Evil is evil and good is good. And dark is dark and light is light. And you have to practice that. Because otherwise we're living in the other. And that gets us. So in the process of that, we've got to look to God. And if we don't look to God, God is good. He's the shepherd. So we aren't supposed to be trusting our heart, trusting a man, deceitful heart, our own, and everyone else's. We're looking to God. And if we're looking to God, he's good. He isn't evil. And he isn't dark. He's light, like we shared this morning. He's light, 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 light. When you receive him as your Savior, he is light, light, light. That's what he is. And you understand that. Well, if I don't walk in the light as he is in the light, then I'm in the dark. That's right. Dark. I can walk in the light if I want to. But if I don't want to, I want to look at everything like everyone else does, like I normally do. Then you're in the dark. And you're going to feel and everything. And remember, fear is contagious. Fear is contagious, you know. So you want to keep that in mind. So God, are we going to look for you to be good? God is good. I'm evil. God's good. Think of some Romans. Romans 7 and that, 18. In me dwelleth no good thing. I understand that. We have to get there. So we aren't trusting ourselves and getting all caught up in what? Fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can't get out of it. I will fear no evil because they are with me. But if I don't practice that and understand that in my head and my brain, it isn't me, it isn't anything about you or me. It's about God's wonderful person and presence. And therefore, as you go, you're able to walk in the light as he is in the light, and you go forward. That's what you do. The world's dark. That's right. But God isn't dark. God's good. God isn't bad. God loves you. He died for you. He's going to let all kinds of things happen. David said that. David said he leads me in still waters and everything. But he leaves me in this valley of death, in the midst of all of it. That's right. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore you don't want to be able to go and say, fear is what am I trusting in? Because if you're trusting in fear, looking to fear, if you wrongly fear evil, if you wrongly fear evil, then you wrongly relate to evil. And if you're wrongly relating to evil, you disqualify yourself from dealing with evil. If you didn't see it right, and you don't understand it right, and then you're trying to fix something you don't even understand, you aren't going to come out good. No, you're not. You don't understand what evil is. And therefore, you're trying to solve, resolve in your head and heart, and the system, and you don't fix anything. You don't fix it. That's why things in our system now that are showing up, they've always been there, they just got more loose, like a Pandora's box got opened. Loose, and we aren't fixing them. It's hard to fix them. The human heart, it's hard to fix the human heart. Well, in the light of evil, in the light of darkness, the world system doesn't want God, doesn't want good. And therefore, as we look to that, we have all kinds of fears. And the fears are there. And what do? They prevent us. The fear prevents you from trusting in God because you're caught up in fear. And you're caught up of being afraid. And you might not even know it. You might not even understand it till you think about it. That's what I'm afraid of. What are you afraid of? What do you mean afraid? And then you start thinking about it. And you find out that maybe you are afraid of something, somehow, someone, somewhere, something that you're afraid of. And in the process of that, then you lose all the practical benefits, and you live in darkness. You live in doubt. You live in that which leaves you without anything. You withdraw down inside. And you're doing it. And therefore, you are bound. You get all bound up. And you get burdened. And you get in bondage. And you get bullied around, pushed around. People don't want to be bullied. But that's what happens. The system, the fears, all of it loses the composure that God has given to you. To walk in, to live in, to enjoy. And so God, here we are looking, and as we shared, we have a fear of error. Error? Where is error? Where isn't error? We're looking. Where's error? Where's evil? Where's the enemy? Where's the enemy? Where's the enemy? Trying to find the enemy. Trying to find the evil. Aha! And we're busy. We're busy trying to do it. And we aren't seeing it as it is. The devil's there. It's his system. The world's system is there. And the error and the evil and the darkness and the and all of it. So we aren't withdrawing from it. What did you do, David? I walk through it. That's I live in it. The word has to do with the think of a plant growing. Think of a river flowing. And now you have a yea though I walk, a plant growing, a river flowing. I am walking, I'm living in the valley. I'm moving. I'm not sitting still. I'm working it out. I'm going through it. I'm letting my God work out my life. Wow, in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and all of that, over, please, over to Philippians first. You know all these things, but knowing them, don't go by your knowing them, go by your doing them. Don't turn and say, well, I know that. No, I live that. That truth is mine. I have that. It governs my life. Governs my life. It's yours now. Philippians, as you would guess, chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out, present tense, be working out your own salvation. You can't work out name, but God's, your unique relationship to God. And you're to do so with fear and trembling. That's how to do so. A holy, healthy, happy sense of God. And all of a sudden, God said, and by the way, God said it, hang on to that. Verse, when you do that, when you're doing your part, you know it, when you're doing your part, having a healthy fear of God, so you aren't fearing evil, you aren't fearing the consequences of thus and thus and thus, because the most that could happen, John, Matthew 10, is you could die. The Islam could cut off your head. That's an experience, I have to tell you. Cut off your head, put your head down, zoop, all gone. Wow, they could do that. It isn't an issue. It's not an issue. Why? Because God is going to keep you and take you all the way down, and no one's going to do anything. Nothing's going to be. If you're going to walk with me, he said, work out your own salvation. It's going to, and you're fearing me, and you're not getting caught up in all the fears that bring frustrations, bring failure. You aren't going to let that happen. You're going down the corridor, and as you do so, I'm going to work out my will in your life. And the evil and the bad is everywhere. It didn't disappear. Darkness, evil. And so therefore, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, God, that's what you're going to do. I said I was going to do it. Well, then either we believe him or we don't. That's all. You either believe or you don't. Say, well, I'm whatever. No, you want to possess that. You want that to be yours. So when you're thinking it isn't you, it's God. God in you. God around you. In his presence, it's God. It's God. That's how we go. God is good. God keeps us. He's the shepherd. We're going down the corridor. That's right. And we're working out his will. Where? in an evil and adulterous generation, in an evil world of darkness and death. There is no light. There is no light. It's all dark, 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 dark. The human heart, dark. There's no light. Spiritually dead. No light. Wow. No, God, you're going to do that. I am. Over, if you would, please, to Romans. So, God, here we are going down the corridor of time. And, God, that's how we go to school, go to work, grow up. That's what we do. And we're looking. So we aren't concerned. What happens if I don't live another 10 years? What happens if you don't live another 10 minutes? How's that? If you don't live another 10 minutes. If we're trusting God, it doesn't make any difference. Because 10 minutes or 10 years, God's going to do what he's going to do. And that's how we live. We go to bed like that, get out of bed, go to work, school. Play. That's how we live. God knows. God's doing what he's doing. Therefore, Romans 14, in the light of faith, David had faith. David had faith. And that's so you don't fear evil. If you have faith, trust God, you don't fear evil. And by the way, the end of Romans chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 23 directly. And he that doubteth is damned or judged if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And then those awesome words, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if you aren't going to honor, if you're going to fear evil, that's sin. Now, once we get that, then see how much you're going to fear. If I fear, I got to confess my fear. I got to confess to sin. I got to confess to God. But if I don't see it, I don't say it. And it stays with me, doesn't it? Doesn't go away. Stays right with me as I'm going down. Stays right with me. Doesn't go away. Nope. Nope. Because I don't see it that way. God said, do you understand? Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please me. That's what it is. Now, so in the light of that, over if I can, Psalm 127. David, help us as we take and hope you got a little bit. Psalm 27. And you allow me to pick it up in verse 27. Psalm 27, excuse me, and verse 1 better. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. David said, listen, what am I afraid of? What am I fearing? God is there. Wars, armies, what difference does it make? That's pretty drastic. Over to closing, John 14. David, that's what David said. Afraid? I'm not afraid. I'm not troubled. Nope. So here we are looking. Here we are looking, if I can. And in John chapter 14, picking up, if I may. John 14, picking up, please, in verse 20. You remember our study of John. Verse 26. Jesus answered, 14 and 26. He it is to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it, and when they heard, and that when he had dipped the salt, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So now, having got that, and after Judas left, after Judas left, just the 11 are there, and the 11 are there now, and in the process, if I can, chapter 14, again, you didn't get that, that's my fault. Chapter 14, and in verse 27. 14 and 27 should be correct. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. David, did you get that? I did. And David's a long way back, and here we are on our turn in planet Earth. And the Lord said to the believing believers that are going to be followed, follow his crucifixion, I leave you with my peace, the tranquility, the wholeness, the completeness of my wonderful person. So you're going to know what? My good, my grace, as you go down the corridor of time. My peace I leave with you. I give it to you. I am giving it to you. It's a gift. I give you it. What are we supposed to do? Let the peace of God, which passes what? All understanding, mount God on your heart and your mind. Let the peace of God guard you. All the evil, the bad, the, who knows? It could be the environment and the... Arctic's closer. Arctic's going to melt and a big iceberg is going to come down, and you thought the power little thing from down south was something. Wait till the iceberg hits us. I mean, I have to tell you, that's pretty big. So it hits us. Wow. Wow. No, we don't caught it. Global warming and everything. Oh, don't even get caught up in it. Don't even follow it. They have no idea about God and how he does and why he does. They don't know. Therefore, God, you're going to keep him in perfect peace. That's right. So don't let your heart be troubled and don't let it be afraid. That's what he's going to do. And you're living in a setting that causes and encourages fear. And you and I are trying to work through it properly. But many are not. Some don't care at all, obviously, because they're doing their cause and rioting, whatever they're doing, they don't care. They got a cause. And the other people, nothing. But there's fear. And people you work with, go to school with, in the neighborhood, family, people have fears. The fear is, watch this, watch that, watch and watch and wash, you know, and do it. And I don't know where God is in all of that. God, thank you. I will fear no evil, said David. Yea, though I walk through the valley, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Work, home, school. God, I will fear no evil. Why not? I'm with you. God said, I'm with you. I'm in you. I'm going to work out my wonderful will in your life. You want me to work it out because you're busy working it out, work out your own salvation, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Now, God, that's how we're going to go. So we don't have to get all hung up about everything. Appreciate your patience. Our God and Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for caring, God. Thank you very much. God, what do we say? May we be found being inspired, being exercised in all of this. And finding you sufficient. How are we going to do that, God? We're going to give thanks in everything. Why? Why are we going to do that, God? Because if we're saved, you said it, if we're saved and you're in us, then you're going to do all of your good things. All things work together for good. They aren't good. They live in an evil and dark world. God, you said all this to us. So God, here we are. We're looking to you to outwork that good. We know in me dwelleth no good thing, but in you, God, is everything. So we're going to trust you, learn to trust you better, thoughtfully. We're going to appreciate you. Every single second of every single day, you are there in our heart to give us the life and the light and to keep us. And in our slowness and stubbornness and all of the other things about us, God, your patience and long before being angry, and you care and want us to survive and succeed, to be able to be overcomers, to be able to go and be more than a conqueror. And our God, we just appreciate it very, very much. So God, you got to help us in it. Otherwise, we just don't have it happen. It won't happen. And you've already made it possible. So God, take care of it. Thank you for your word and work and all that you're doing. You have safety, encouragement in every way. God made the bodies frail and weak, made of clay. Strengthen us in heart and mind that we might be the able to enjoy you the better. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.